Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host today, Dave Allen, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Monday, June 25th, 2018. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy Manic Monday, Melody.
Manic Monday it is.
Depressing Monday, perhaps.
Yes, it is.
It's good to be alive.
Yes, it is.
And I hope the sun is shining where you are.
Yes, it is. We do a whole hour of program for yes, it is. Yes, it is. It is. Yes, it is day. And but gold today, yes, it is depressing. We have gold down 330 at 1,266.60. So a little triple sixes there, but 1,266.60 for gold pricing today. Silver was down 12 cents today at $16.41. Platinum was down $10 at $872. And palladium was down 16 at $947. The USDX today was weaker, but, you know, 0.24, that's not going to do anything. 94.30. Crude oil was down 64 cents today at $67.94. The paper markets, however, today got a little beat up today, but still a far cry from any major downfalls. And, you know, triple digits, 327 points to the downside, 1.33%, 24,253. At one point, it was down 400 points. The NASDAQ was down 160, a little over 2%. 7,532, and the S&P was down 37 points, 2,717. That's just one of those days where the Dow was down, hit 400, came back to around 325, and just sat there all day long, just sat there. Gold's the same thing. It was down a couple bucks, stayed there all day. It's like, isn't anybody trading at all? You know, how, and that, again, it always proves my point that this is how you see your manipulations and the algorithms of trading and so forth. I mean, markets just don't move. And I just, for as big as it is, as for as big as these markets are, you shouldn't see these numbers hold all day long. 10-year yield, 2.88%.
See that that CBO VIX? CBOE VIX jumped up almost 30% today to 17.8.
Wow.
Big jump in the volatility index.
That is a big jump, but yet the markets, to me, the market, a 300-point drop doesn't reflect a 30% increase. You know, so it's still not, that the slow reaction to a lot of these things. And you know what, I was listening to an interview, and I'm sure we're going to be talking a little bit about trade today, but it was interesting because I saw this interview, and it was actually a Fox News interview, but with a she was actually more of a liberal writer, you know, from where she came from. And it was interesting because they were talking about trade, and she was up there around the Wisconsin area, and she was talking about how there's a lot of, you're seeing the farmers, and they were talking about Harley Davidson, which I know we're going to talk about later on in the program. They're actually being hurt, but at this point in time, they're willing to accept the pain because they believe that this is the something that the administration, something that they wanted Washington to do for a long time, that they think that it is good that is this is being done, that they're willing to accept that pain. So it'll be interesting to see how, and because they're also looking into the future, thinking that with these tariffs and so forth, that it will benefit them in the long run. So they're willing to accept the pain now. I'm not sure how long they can handle the pain.
Mm-hmm.
Bills are bills.
Well, let's see how they feel at the end of December when interest rates are at least 0.5% higher. When you know, any new debt they're going to have to enter into for whatever purposes is going to increase their carrying costs and could result in opportunity cost of not being able to do other things that they want to do. Let's see how they are this fall and at the end of the year.
Yeah,
You know?
and I think we do, but the whole thing of it is, Dave, I mean, we all come, a lot of these things have to be done. They should have been done in the past. But we all know that in order to correct the problems that we have, there will be pain. And I just don't think people realize to the depth of the pain that's going to be experienced. I mean, all eyes are always focused on the paper markets, just the Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ. You know, if we see the Dow drop by, you know, 15,000 points, that's pain. But,
indeed.
You know, we don't bring it into, you know, now, prior to those big, the easy numbers to watch, already we're experiencing pain in this country, but it has yet to filter through and to become severe. So our monetary system, our debt, when these things are addressed, there's going to be pain for everyone. And so I thought that was interesting to, you know, hear from and a lot of it has to do with China and so forth. And so what about the administration that's going to be barring several Chinese companies from making investments in U.S. tech?
How about it? Yeah, that certainly had an impact, and probably the primary reason for certainly the early morning tumble in the U.S. stock markets.
Why don't you go ahead and tell us about it?
Well, you know, stocks kicked off the new week tumbling actually earlier today as the administration is reportedly preparing to restrict investment in U.S. technology by Chinese companies. You know, as you mentioned, the Dow Jones dropped over 400 points, you know, with Boeing and Intel among the biggest decliners in the index, particularly early in the day. That 30-stock index also fell below its 200-day moving average for the first time since early May. The S&P fell over 1.7% as tech declined 2.5%. And the NASDAQ composite pulled back over 2% as, you know, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google parent Alphabet dropped. You know, Willie Dawicki, who's an investment strategist at Baird, said this is a case where you have widespread optimism that leaves little room for error. It leads to a scenario where you sell first and ask questions later. Now, you know, the Wall Street Journal reported yesterday that President Trump plans to bar several Chinese companies from making investment in U.S. tech companies or U.S. technology. You know, the newspaper also reported that the administration wants to block additional technology exports to China. Both measures are expected to be announced by the end of this week. You know, increasing trade tensions between the U.S. and its key trade partners, including China, have kept Wall Street on edge for several weeks now. The major indexes finished last week lower after Trump asked the U.S. Trade Representative to target $200 billion worth of Chinese products for tariffs. Trump also raised the possibility of slapping a 20% charge on European cars, Mercedes, BMW, Volkswagen, and the like. Peter Bachfar, who's the chief investment officer at Bleakley Advisory Group, who we quote every now and then, said that there are three goals the administration wants to complete with these tariffs. One, protect tech companies from Chinese theft, as you've talked about many times over the past 6 months. Two, lower trade barriers set by other countries relative to the U.S. And three, lower the trade deficit, regardless of how that per se, means a lot or means not so much. Now, share makers of Intel, Micron Technology, and NVIDIA all fell at least 3% today. Boeing, Caterpillar, and General Motors, all companies with significant exposure to China, also fell, all of them by 2%. General Motors by a little less than 1%. All three of them were also on track to post major monthly losses. And as we mentioned, the CBO Volatility Index, regarded as the best gauge of fear in the paper market, traded above 17 by the end of the day today, up almost 30% for just the day. And the overseas markets fell as well. In Europe, the Stoxx 600 index dropped almost 2%, while the German DAX did fall 2%. And Treasury yields slipped as investors interestingly bought bonds amid these trade tensions. You know, the benchmark 10-year yield fell to under 2.9%, while the 2-year yield slipped to 2.5%. Mel, that's what's happening in that respect.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to see those yields falling, and of course shows that people are, you know, it's easy to move billions of dollars quickly, and but eventually those billions of dollars do flow into gold and silver. So gold always seems to be lagging. It always seems to lag when it comes to, you know, big moves, when you have market disruptions and so forth, and, you know, maybe some sort of tensions with this trade and so forth on the paper markets. And, you know, what's interesting, Dave, is everybody is just waiting. Everybody knows, if you have a half a brain, everybody knows that these markets are ready to fall apart. You know, if the things are doing so well and these corporations are doing so well, they can't get the stock markets any higher than what they've been. Sure, the NASDAQ took off a little bit, but certainly the Dow's 30, they're hanging. I don't know how much Walgreens is going to do to the sector. So it seems like they pretty much have peaked out at their highs. Everybody's waiting. Everybody's just waiting for this to happen. For these markets to correct to the point where, and everybody's just waiting for, you know, the debt not to be paid. And it doesn't matter who you ask on what side, you know, there's no political affiliation that, you know, is stronger on one side than the other. Everyone agrees, no matter who you are, what your political views are, everyone agrees that that the monetary system and these paper markets are just positioned to fail. And
yeah, you know, with all the algorithmic trading going on too, you know, they, on the one hand, I hate to overemphasize this. On the other hand, it's hard not to, because so many traders now, large companies, even these large pension plans are positioned to trade automatically on you know, certain types of news, and
well, I think we kind of lost
it's not
Dave.
If, or it's
we...
when.
Okay.
Oh, am I there?
You're there.
Am I? Sorry. When the day comes, and the major correction is sort of happening as we speak, we're going to see, you know, it's going to be a domino of whirlwind proportions that's going to be impossible to turn around until after, you know, the day is done, and the paper markets have crashed. I don't know how you quantify that, but certainly it's going to be more than 10, 15, maybe even 20%. Then I think will get people's attention, Melody.
And, well, I hope so. And I hope they have the opportunity to protect their losses before it gets down to 50 and 60%. Hope their attention, you know, is woken up at 10% drop in the Dow and the paper markets versus the 60 and 70 before they get in and purchase gold. But interesting, shares of Harley-Davidson today plunged after the iconic American motorcycle manufacturer said it's going to start shifting some production overseas to offset the impact of the retaliatory EU tariffs on certain U.S. goods. The statement is one of the first by a major U.S. company that implies the recently announced tit-for-tat tariffs is going to force it overseas and counters the Trump's administration efforts to protect the U.S. jobs by implementing tariffs. In response to U.S. duties on European steel and aluminum, the EU enacted tariffs Friday on more than $3 billion worth of U.S. goods that are ranging from bourbon to yachts. The EU also raised duties on U.S.-made motorcycles from 6% to 31%. Harley-Davidson said in a filing to date that the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission.
Yeah, the company said it's not going to raise retail or wholesale prices, Melody, but it does expect an incremental cost of over $2,000 per motorcycle exported from the U.S. to the EU. The company expects the additional investment in international facilities to take, you know, between 9 and 18 months to complete. You know, the stock fell 5.5% in midday trading today, tracking for a decline of more than 17% for 2018 thus far. The EU tariffs reduced the company's 2018 profits by between 5 and 8%, that according to a CNBC analysis of Reuters data and Harley cost projections. The full year impact of $90 to $100 million is about 15% of the company's annual profits. That's not chump change. The president has publicly thanked Harley-Davidson in the past for building things in America. He criticized other companies for moving production outside the U.S. Not sure what the reaction will be to this latest announcement.
But they've already been having issues. I mean, if their stock fell so far in 17% and 5% of that was in midday trading today, they've been already been hurting. But, you know, the one minute they say they won't increase the retail or wholesale, but there's going to be an incremental cost of $2,200. So,
yeah, right. You know. Good point.
You know, so, okay.
Does that mean they're going to eat that? Is that what the underlying, you know, word is?
Well,
can't imagine.
I can't imagine. But Chinese President Xi Jinping said last week he will not hesitate to retaliate against the U.S. on trade. In the West, you have the notion that if somebody hits you on the left cheek, you turn the other cheek. He says, in our culture, we punch back.
Woo-hoo!
I wouldn't view President Trump as someone who, you know, I think he will punch back also. But trade tensions between the U.S. and China have escalated. And again, this isn't new news, but it's a strong wording, which is new, that is coming from the president of China. So
yeah, he said he asked again his U.S. trade rep to identify an additional $200 billion worth of Chinese goods for a 10% tariff. You know, Xi was spinky. Oh, well, that's enough for this topic for now.
All right, it's going to be because we're heading into a break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom with my co-host Dave Allen, and we'll be right back right after these questions.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody, and I'm here with Dave. Heading into the break, we were talking about trade. You have the president of China getting a little tough with words, and so it seems like the trade tensions are beginning to escalate a little bit in the last couple of weeks. Not sure if they're still tit for tats, not sure how much of this is all for show, considering we have a lot of other things that play into. We have the North Korea situation, and that seems to be moving along, even with these tariffs, that seems to be moving along without a hitch. There are remains from the war that are coming home. I believe there's a meeting between, they're going to open the borders for families between North and South Korea to meet, and families that have, if you haven't seen each other in 30 years, I don't know how strong a relationship you're going to have with them, but family is family, and they're opening up those borders so they can meet, something that hasn't been done since the war.
Yeah, that's a huge development in many ways.
It is. And so we still haven't gotten to the denuclearization, but of course the war games have stopped. And so that's progressing fantastic.
Much to the chagrin, I read, to General Mattis, our Secretary of Defense. And perhaps he's less upset about the war games, being put on hold. And war games, I mean, maybe that's an anachronism. Maybe we call it practice. I think if nothing else, he's certainly reportedly upset about not having been included in that decision.
They should be used to it by now, you would think. But European Union, they're working on multilateral trade with China. I think this is important. You have the European Union working with China so that their trade doesn't come to an abrupt end. Both European and Chinese officials are taking steps to strengthen their trade ties, but based on a multilateral approach, a system by which international trade has evolved over the past few years. However, making trade accords with multiple countries is something that our administration opposes on the basis that it had a negative economic impact on the U.S. I feel like we are making progress. Both China and the EU believe in multilateralism and a rules-based order. You know, we can agree to disagree that we all think trade is good, but there needs to be more fair trade, not free trade.
Indeed.
And that is something that is, and I agree that the United States has been hurt by a lot of this free trade that is going on. So,
yeah, both countries launched negotiation for an investment agreement 5 years ago. According to officials, Brussels, which is the capital or the headquarters of the EU, and Beijing are now taking the first step forward in those talks. You know, a spokesperson said, "We decided in a couple of weeks' time the EU and China will exchange market access offers on that agreement. adding that it will be presented at a summit in the coming weeks. Now, data, Melody, from the EU shows that China is the bloc's biggest source of imports, no surprise, really, while also being its second biggest export market. On average, both countries trade the equivalent of over $1.1 billion every day. Now, the European efforts to get closer to China are part of a wider, initiative to ensure that international trade isn't disrupted due to the U.S. administration's new policy direction. Trump vowed to tackle the U.S. trade deficit when taking office last year, and he decided the best way to do that is by imposing new tariffs on imported goods.
You know, in the latest trade between the trade row between Europe and the U.S., we had talked about Trump had threatened a new 20% duty on cars built in Europe and sold in the U.S. It was also a 25% duty imposed on European steel and 10% on European aluminum. The Economist Intelligence Unit, a think tank, said in the latest global country forecast that it expects that the U.S. to follow with tariffs on EU automotive imports, which be economically painful for both sides. We'll have to see how that all plays out with the automobiles. I did already see today, I didn't have a chance to pull it up, where European Union was actually considering, I believe, dropping the 10% duty on U.S. vehicles. So they might be a little more willing. I think it was Germany. She might be a little more willing to go with the program with Trump, considering she's about ready to be ousted out of her position. So she'll probably do anything possible and say anything possible just so she can keep it. So, but that would be a good thing if they.
A lot at stake there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, last week we didn't get a chance to do our Brevity is Gold, and we came across this article about how some states are more psychopathic than others. Yes, this takes us a little away from the gold and silver and the economy issues for a few moments. However, it kind of gives you an understanding of what's maybe going on in this country as far as people's behavior and so forth, Dave.
Indeed, Melody. You know, Hannibal Lecter fans out there, this one's for you. You know, sometimes it can feel like there are psychopaths everywhere, you know? Well, it's now possible to move to less psychopathic environments, thanks to, new research ranking the 48 contiguous states by level of psychopathy. You know, Connecticut, surprisingly, in my mind, wins the dubious award of the most psychopathic state in the United States, followed by California in second, which I thought would have been first. And New Jersey third. New York and Wyoming tie for fourth place, and then Maine comes in fifth. Now, the least psychopathic state is West Virginia, followed by Vermont, Tennessee, North Carolina, and Mexico. And
New Mexico.
New Mexico, beg your pardon. The rest of the U.S. Is in between. The psychopathy evaluation for each state is an estimate, says Ryan Murphy, who's a professor at Southern Methodist University in Texas and the author of the study, which is published on the Social Science Research Network. The calculation is based in part on previous research of Murphy that established the levels of five personality traits, which are extroversion, agreeableness, conscientiousness, neuroticism, and openness to experience, that in each state. Murphy's earlier research shows that psychopathy is composed of disinhibition, boldness, and meanness. And a forthcoming paper shows that these characteristics can be translated into five big traits. Boldness corresponds to low neuroticism and high extroversion. Meanness corresponds to low agreeableness. And disinhibition corresponds to low conscientiousness. Now, the paper hasn't yet been published or gone through peer review. It's been what's called pre-published. But Murphy has also included the District of Columbia in his research and found it had a psychopathy level far higher than any other state. Now go figure.
Go figure.
He notes, I'm quoting here, the presence of psychopaths in the District of Columbia is consistent with the conjecture found in previous research. That is, that psychopaths are likely to be effective in the political sphere. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, that just hit a chord. Murphy notes that the findings are estimates and further data by state is needed to corroborate the findings. But his current survey, which suggests the northeast of the U.S. is the most psychopathic region in the U.S., probably thanks to D.C., will nevertheless ring true to anyone who's been stuck on a New York subway. And that, Melody, is this week's Brevity is Golden.
You know, it just kind of makes sense now, doesn't it? They're all a bunch of freaks and nuts out there.
Oh,
but you're seeing it. I mean, I can't ever recall a time. It just seems like people are just
becoming unglued.
Just reacting to. It's disturbing, and it is not frightening, but certainly disturbing in many, many ways. But we're going to get back on the economy now, and for the first time since President Donald Trump took office, more than half the public approve his handling of the economy, and it appears to have some impact on his overall job approval rating. The president's economic approval rating surged 6 points to 51%, with just 36% of the public disapproving, a 6-point drop from the March survey. His overall approving rating rose 2 points to 41% with the first quarter survey, but the percentage of Americans who disapprove dropped 10 points to 47%, the lowest recorded by CNBC during his presidency. So his approval ratings remain negative at -6, but it's also the lowest negative rating recorded since he took office. So it does show that it is turning around. The poll does show that a 51% majority of Americans disagree with the president's immigration policy, but the level is unchanged from last quarter and last year. It is the worst issue for the president among the issues that were polled by CNBC.
Very interesting, Melody. You know, the rise in the president's economic approval comes with growth running about a percentage point higher than it did during the Obama presidency. Unemployment, as we know, is near a 20-year low and is amid what is believed to be a very strong quarter for growth, which will be reported next month. That's translated into positive views by the public on the economy that are reaching new records for the survey. 54% of Americans say the economy is good or excellent, and that's the highest recorded in this survey in its 10 years. Just 43% say the economy is fair or poor. In my mind, that's still a significant portion, but it's the lowest in the history of the survey. Positive views on the economy have surged 20 points since the election in November of 2016.
You know, and again, I'm going back to the definition of the economy and how are people being impacted by a great economy. I mean, we're supposed to see for the first time the percentage of Americans are saying the economy is excellent outstrips the percentage saying it is poor. And Americans look for a strong 4% gain in their home values in the next year, equaling the highest percentage previously recorded in 2007.
God bless them.
It's just that the facts don't lead to those numbers. I mean, we have a great economy because the stock markets are high. People are working. People do see building. But how great is the economy when people are working two jobs to sustain? Doesn't that matter? As long as they're doesn't it matter how many jobs they work in order for them to survive? The wages are not increasing. Doesn't that matter anymore? Does it only matter that we see, you know, the stock markets are high and building going on? I mean, when you look at they're looking for a strong 4% gain what's the median house of what's the median price of a house now, Dave?
Over 300,000.
300,000, and they're still expecting a 4% gain. I mean, doesn't anybody think that that's a little
psychopathic?
Psychopathic. Yes, you got it. I mean, okay. The president's economic approval numbers come with the support from the Democrats. A large number still disapprove of Trump on the economy, but 30% of Democrats is not nothing. And there remains a 10-point gap among those who approve of Trump's handling of the economy and his overall approval rating. That gap exists even among conservative Republicans, who give the president a 96% approval rating on the economy, but 85% overall. Let's see if there's any other interesting things there. A strong 58% also support his negotiations with North Korea. You would think that number would be higher.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because that is a big deal. Whether it, regardless of how it ends, that number should be higher. 45% approve of Trump's imposition of tariffs, with 38% disapproving. And what's it mean for midterms? One problem for the president, just 34% of Americans say they have seen an increase in their take-home pay because of the tax cuts, roughly the same as when the question was asked in March.
Wow, that's surprising and probably an important thing to remember as we get into the fall campaign, a campaign which, once again, is likely to be the ugliest in our history until the next election after it.
I don't think that 34% of Americans that say they have seen an increase in their take, I don't think it's going to matter, because it's just going to be like the farmers think that because of the tariffs, it's something that the country has to do, and they're willing to have experience this pain. And I think you're going to have the people who aren't seeing their pays increase for the tax. I think they're going to think it was something that had to be done for future benefits. But it's just.
Maybe. I hear you. Well, in any event, Melody, in the stock market, I was not necessarily surprised, but somewhat dismayed that 42% in the survey said now's a good time to invest in stocks. That's 4% below last year's average when stocks surged, but still above the long-run average of this survey. Roughly one-third were unsure. And that's the highest yet recorded. And 27% said it's a bad time to invest in the stock market. See that more than one quarter, they're either sitting on the sideline. I'm not sure they're buying gold and silver at the moment. They ought to be.
And at the moment, we're heading into a break, and we'll be returning in just a few short minutes. Thank you for joining us today. Oh, won't you tell me again tonight?
Each and every heart is food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. I just want to remind you, we have the 50-cent pieces, the 90% junk silver, and they are a mixture. Mainly, most of them are Kennedy half and Ben Franklin's, and they're really in nice condition. Now, they're not uncirculated like the quarters and dimes, but they're really in decent condition, and especially when you get those Kennedys that were lightly circulated, and the Ben Franklins are just a cool coin. They're just cool. And $325 for $25 face value. And, of course, if you purchase two of these little specials, we'll include free shipping for you. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit the website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And we're going to talk about a little bit, because you have to sign up for the newsletter to get the article, but we're going to talk a little bit about it, give you a little tease into the article that Dave has written, and it's about the senior citizens. I hate to say it, but I'm included in that group. I don't get Social Security benefits yet, but
afraid we both are there, Melody.
But according to the annual report of the Senior Citizens League released late last week, the inflation has eroded the purchasing power of American Social Security benefits by 34% since 2000. Sarah O'Brien reports that the cost of goods and services common among retirees have risen faster than the cost of living adjustments that Social Security recipients get every year. I don't think that's any real big surprise considering what our inflation is. The report shows that from January 2017 to January 2018 alone, the loss in buying power dropped by 4%. That's big.
Mm-hmm. Home heating, 1 year.
Yeah. Home heating oil and Medigap payments were among the fastest growing costs over that 1 year period. People who recently retired might have seen only a small decrease in buying power. That was the author of the League report, but those retired for a long time are feeling the cumulative effect on this. But I think anytime you lose 4%, she might think people might not see it or feel it, but I think anybody feels 4%.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, Melody, we recently reported to listeners, about 50 million Americans receive Social Security benefits, including survivors and dependents, but also excluding the 11 million disability recipients. Overall, those benefits make up about a third of income for those 65 or older, according to the Social Security Administration. However, over 62% of seniors rely on Social Security for at least half their retirement income. And more than a third, 34%, the oldest recipients get at least 90% of their monthly income from there. Save now, ladies and gentlemen. Buy that gold and silver. The League's report looks at the costs that typically make up household budgets of older Americans and compares their price change with the annual cost of living adjustments. You know, while the total COLA increases since 2000 have been 46%, you know, that matches inflation over the same period. Typical retiree expenses have grown by over 96%,
wow,
more than twice the amount of the colas over that period, the study shows. Now, of the 39 costs analyzed in the report, 26 of them grew faster than the percentage increase in colas over that 2000 to 2018 period. According to the league, these are the 10 highest retiree cost increases over that 18-year period. Medicare Part B monthly premiums, 195% increase, annual out-of-pocket costs for prescription drugs, the cost per gallon for home heating oil, homeowner insurance premiums, Medigap insurance premiums is the cost per gallon for propane gas, real estate taxes, total annual medical out-of-pocket cost, oranges per pound, an important staple of, in the diet of retirees, and veterinarian and other pet services rounding out the top 10 at 114%, Melody.
And those are some huge increases in an 18-year period. The report was based, uses 2000 as a starting point, because that's when the federal government changed how inflation is measured, of course.
Yeah.
So if we use the real numbers, Social Security COLAs are based on that measurement, the Consumer Price Index for urban wage earners and clerical workers. Critics say that the formula doesn't take into account different spending patterns for retirees compared with the U.S. population as a whole. The Senior Citizens League is among those advocating for the Consumer Price Index for the elderly to be used for determining future COLAs. Since 2010, the average COLA has been 1.2%. Most recently, there was no increase in 2016, followed by a 0.3% boost in 2017. Doesn't really seem like it's keeping up with those numbers that they gave us, even after they changed the way they calculate inflation, Dave.
Yeah, that's interesting. Go ahead.
But the there is an estimate for the COLA for 2019 is going to be at least 3.3%. Others believe it will still be under 3%, which could help dampen some of the additional loss of retirees' buying power at least another year.
Yeah.
That's a big jump.
I'd be shocked if it were that high.
Yeah.
I mean, even with, and the CPI being projected to be at most 2.6% this year, maybe 2.8 is what I've heard, but that's only in a given quarter. And overall, I haven't seen much over 2.3%, 2.6 at most for all of 2018. So that strikes me as a tad high. But hey, God bless Social Security recipients if they can get it. Now, rightly or not, Melody, gold has been widely viewed as an inflation hedge, keeping on the topic of consumer prices, that is, as a measure of protection against purchasing power risk. Rising inflation has put gold back in the radar for investors looking to protect their portfolios from increasing consumer prices. But history shows that, the relationship may be overstated in reality. Although there's widespread perception that, gold is a great inflation hedge. Recent studies, however, suggest that, instead of focusing on inflation rates per se, we ought to be looking at inflation-adjusted interest rates. The last 50 years suggests that gold performs better as a hedge against inflation shocks, like the spike caused by surging oil prices in the late 70s and early 80s, as compared to the widely anticipated gradual increases we've been experiencing more recently. Bruce Lucy, who's a professor of international finance at the Trinity College in Dublin, Ireland, is quoted as saying, if you strip out the 1970s, you find the relationship between gold and inflation is actually weak. That's because you have a very different inflation regime in the late 80s and 90s than you had in the 1970s. The 70s was a time when inflation rates of double digit and higher were the norm, and we're not going back to that. he says. Melody?
Well, you know, I mean, we've seen inflation surge, and, you know, these inflation numbers are all based on government numbers, and we all know that they flat out lie. Everybody goes to the grocery store, knows what we pay. And if you look at gold over a long period of time, it does protect your period. I mean, you can buy the same thing today with gold and silver. We often use silver as an example of gasoline prices. You take those three dimes today, the 90% silver dimes today, you're basically buying your gasoline for 30 cents that you bought 50 years ago. So it does protect your purchasing power over a longer period of time. And yet today, if you use those paper dollars, it costs you $3 for that gasoline.
I enjoyed those times, Melody, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
God knows my social life in college would have been a lot more boring had I had to spend $2.90 $2.95 on gasoline as opposed to the pittance that we did at the time.
I can remember the gas lines. I can remember when they had the oil embargo. And I can remember the gas. I was living in Arizona, and they had the signs out that if you paid with coinage, silver coinage, that you would receive a discount.
No kidding.
We saw the same thing, a similar thing happen during the Great Recession after 2008, and we had the dollar dropping out of bed, and we had, you know, the gold and silver prices rising. Signs popped in, I think it was up and around Oregon and the state of Washington. Same type of signs, pay in 90% silver, and, you know, you get discounts.
I wonder if Nixon,
this is what happens.
I wonder if Watergate had happened before 1972, if Nixon would have made the decision he did to, you know, get us out of the gold standard.
That would have happened regardless, I believe.
Yeah.
Because I do believe, you know, the prices of gold was rising, and you know, people were turning in their gold certificates, you know, the foreign countries, and we couldn't afford to pay it, and you had to close it in order to move on to the next steps, you know, in order to, you know, do the debt that they needed to do in order to get us to where we are today. All those great recessions that we've had. What?
I know. You trampled on my parade.
I know I did.
But you know what? Reality is a sure thing, isn't it?
It's true. And, you know, we can always look back at hindsight. We can look at, you know, see what they did and how they did and why they did it. And but going forward, I mean, you can use that as history and you can see where we're headed. So why would it change now? How can it change now? We've sort of just got beyond the point of no return. And I think doing some of these things in the economy, doing some of these things with their trade and so forth might actually help us. You know, when there is a correction, when there is a reset that everyone is predicting and which I expect. So you just can't continue down this road without any type of, you know, without, you know, some sort of reckoning for the mismanagement of our money in this country. Mm-hmm. So we have seen, based on that, we've seen inflation surge nearly 15% in early 1980, we had gold kept pace. That's when we saw gold hitting $667 an ounce after a 1500 plus rise over the previous decade. However, when inflation rose again in the late 80s from 1% in late to 1986 to more than 6% by the end of 1990, gold lagged a little bit. But again, gold is also the balance of the wheel. You know, you get paper on one side and gold on the other side. And if you have the proper amount of both, that's the whole point of being balanced in your portfolios. And it's just what people don't understand how important it is to have your gold in your portfolio. You need a balance. 5% does not balance your portfolio,
no.
Your paper portfolios. 10% doesn't do it. 15% doesn't do it. 20%, not in today's world. That doesn't do it. So for gold, that's with rising interest rates, lift the opportunity cost of holding non-yielding bullion. So again, it's an important time to own gold. It's an important time to continue to adding gold and silver to your portfolio. And they need to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And we got that $325 face, $25 face value, 90% silver, $325. So,
we've been delivering financial security since 1995, folks.
And we do.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we do see the inflation pressures are beginning to pick up. We've seen the Fed hiking short-term interest rates, and you know, depend on how gold has risen significantly in major increases on those interest rates. And again, Dave, you made a very important part. It's the slow. It's like the frog in the pot. You slowly boil it, and he doesn't realize he's getting cooked. And that's what the Federal Reserve tries to do. They try to do it slowly and gradually so nobody notices. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, all of a sudden you realize that that frog is cooked. And I think they're doing the same thing with the rates. They're doing it slow so it doesn't create any disruptions into the markets. You don't have gold reacting like it normally does. But when we've seen these big rate increases before, they have taken a long time to do it. And that's how they always start out. They start out slow, and then they bring it up to the end, and it wakes everybody up. We're out of time today. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Dave.
Melody.
We'll see you on Wednesday.
Sounds great.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.